Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all.
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Steve-O.
I'm huffing and puffing.
It's going to be a good show tonight, man. I'm very excited. I'm very, very excited.
Let me just catch my breath. Ah! Good evening. Welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
Yes, welcome.
I'm your host, Steve-O. With me, as always, to my right, is Pastor Nate Heitzig. What up, sucker fool?
Dude,
you're not a sucker
I like
fool.
That. Can you do it? I want that sound clipped. Hey, this is being recorded, right?
Yeah.
So I can take that sound bit and give it to Matt Gentry.
Are you kidding me?
And he can use that over and over again.
Everything is being recorded. You want to hear? You want to see what I listen to like every day? Let's see if
yes.
he even still has it up there.
I do.
Okay, listen to this.
Don't stop believing.
Yeah.
I'm singing with myself. I've never done that.
Yeah.
Feeling streetlights.
Good job.
People. Oh, whoa.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I hear that all the time because Matt Gentry was recording while we were doing our show. And in between the breaks, we talk and chat and apparently do karaoke of Journey. And
dude.
Matt records it and keeps it all.
Welcome. I like Journey.
Yeah, welcome to Shock Therapy Live. I like the journey that is this show. And speaking of journeys, your journey in life. And that is what this show is about. We are here to take your questions, your concerns, your comments, and talk about them biblically.
Yes.
What does the Bible have to say? Not even culturally, Christianly. Because let's talk, dude, there's this whole Christian subculture right now that's kind of dumb.
Which one is that? There's a lot of Christian subcultures that are dumb right now. Which one isn't?
The Bible, the inerrant word of God, I'll tell you right now, if you don't believe that, then we're already off to the wrong start with you. Because,
it's
going to be an interesting show tonight, to say the least. You know,
it's going to be fun. And, you know, one thing before we get into the show, we do not want ad hominem tonight. And
what ad hominem means,
it's a logical fallacy. And where you're having a logical argument, it's when you start basically slinging poop at each other. You're attacking personal character.
So I can't call you a doo-doo head?
Yeah, you can't call me a doo-doo head.
Okay.
So, you know, we're going to hit on some touchy subjects tonight.
And you might
be a little bit offended, but hey, that's part of the show. You know, we said in the very beginning that this show is going to shock you. It's going to offend you. It's going to challenge you. And honestly, if these subjects tonight do offend you, you need to be offended. So if that's the case, though, we do ask that we keep the debate, we keep the arguments bring Bible verses. Hey, we said this is a Bible show. We've got Bible verses to back up every single thing that we're saying, and we ask you to do the same. If you have a Bible verse that contradicts us, that's not going to be there. But if you have one, you know, bring it up to us. We'd love to put it in context and put a biblical light on it.
We were running around preparing for the show tonight.
Yeah.
Getting clips from different pastors, different people, different television shows and whatnot. You know what we didn't do before the show?
Huh.
Pray, because we were running around.
Let's pray right now.
All right. You want to lead it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Lord God, we thank you so much just for the incredible gift that we have been given, which is the Bible. It's your word, Lord, and it reveals to us everything in life that we need to know. Everything that we desire, God, is inside that book. And so, Lord, tonight we come and we open up this incredible book and we ask you to speak to us. We ask you to open the hearts and the minds of every listener right now. Open our hearts and our minds, Lord. Let pride not stand in the way of what you would have to teach us tonight, God. And I pray that you would just reveal your word to us, that your Holy Spirit would work and it would move, and it would be very present tonight, God. Mm-hmm. We lift this up to you in your son's name. Amen.
Amen. Sorry, I was doing the mm-hmms. I go to a Pentecostal church. So.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Dude,
I really do. What
was that brother rapper we had like a week ago?
I know, right? So here
he
it is.
Amens.
We got some questions. You want to go over a couple questions real quick, or would you like to just hit it hard?
Dude, let's go over a couple.
Okay. Well, here we got one from Dominic. What?
Dominic.
He says, hey, man, my name is Dominic. Nick, I've recently been listening to some Shock Therapy Live podcast.
Good decision.
Oh, yeah. Which, by the way, mystaticradio.com/shocktherapylive. If you've missed one of these episodes, you can pick up the podcast.
/ /melt your face off.
That's right. In its entirety. He says, in quotation, which motivated me to ask for some advice. I have some internal conflict that needs a body slam from God. I like this dude already. There are three main problems I'm struggling with. Trusting God, getting rid of the voice, quote unquote, that contradicts what I believe, and being around sinful people without getting sucked into their sin. The voice, I believe, is the enemy, is Satan. I know in the Bible God speaks of when you're saved, evil will flee from you, and I'm certain I'm saved, but these voices are still around. By voices, I don't mean like I'm schizophrenic or anything.
That's good.
It's like the little devil that sits on people's shoulders in cartoons. I should have pre-read this because I'm not laughing at you. This is just great. For instance, I'll be praying and say, Father, thank you for sending your only son to die on the cross. And in the back of my head, I hear, you don't really believe that stuff, do you? Or, Father, I hand this over to you, and I hear, why are you asking that? He won't do anything about it. I then think, what am I doing wrong? Am I not saved? How do I truly trust God with my problems? Of course I know Satan is just trying to break my bond with God, and I know that can't happen, but how do I get rid of this internal contradiction? It's hurting me, leading me into temptation. However, God makes it loud and clear what I'm doing is wrong. Anyway, I hope this isn't confusing. Finally, my last problem comes from school. How do I live around people who say they hate Christians and commit sin constantly? Well, we all live in this world, don't we?
Yeah.
Anyways, my school just recently made a homosexual / lesbian club so people can talk about being gay.
That's so gay.
Literally one thing. Will you stop it? That's literally what they said they do. Girls have already touched me in order to seduce me. Hello. I think Joseph was
awesome.
Wait,
doesn't that not work if they're trying to promote homosexuality? Why are girls touching
him? Will you stop it? I think Joseph was awesome to resist sin and leave his robe and run from Potiphar's wife. I think it was so awesome that Jesus hung out with tax collectors and still lived a godly life. How do I do the same? Thanks so much. God bless you guys. Keep up the good work. Wow.
That's a long question.
It's a novella.
Can you bullet point that for me, Steve-O?
Okay, number one. What am I doing wrong? Am I not saved? He prays. He hears these voices that say, this is stupid. Do you really believe this? He has doubts. He has fears. He has worries. How does he counteract that? How do I truly trust God with my problems? Bam.
You know, number one, ask him if he is having a not just daily prayer, but daily time in the Word. You know, yeah. The best way to strengthen your faith is to read the Word and realize as His Word penetrates into your heart that it is true, that it is valid. I would also say another great thing to do. I know I've had a lot of friends who have had issues with doubts and with controversies. And what I've encouraged them to do is read some incredible apologetical theological books. For instance, Lee Strobel wrote some really, really, really great books on God, on Jesus, on the Bible, about the authenticity, about the validity of it. Mm-hmm. And those are really some great, great books. And I would encourage him to pick up, go to a bookstore, a Christian bookstore, and pick up some books on Jesus Christ. You know, Lee Strobel wrote a book actually going out to try to disprove that there was a God. And in writing that book, as an atheist, he realized that there was a God and he was without excuse. And what's the name of that book, Steve-O?
Case for Christ.
Case for Christ.
Case for Christ.
So yeah, they have Case for Christ, Case for the Creator,
yep.
A case for pretty much everything.
Yeah,
if you need someone to have a case on it, they've got a case for
it. And he was
he's
a lawyer, so it's written in such a great way. He was literally out to find evidence to prove that God did not exist. And somehow, in the meantime, God got a hold of his life.
Yeah, another great book by Josh McDowell about evidence
yes,
that demands a verdict. You
absolutely
know, another great book. So these are books. If you're having doubts, I would encourage you to pick up some of those.
Yeah.
But on the idea of, does that mean you're not saved? I would say no, because I think that if a believer isn't being tempted by Satan and isn't being attacked by Satan, then they're probably not being very effective. Because think about it from an offensive standpoint, you only want to attack someone who's a threat to you. So Satan isn't going to attack people that he's not really worried about. So if you are being attacked, you know, that doesn't mean that you're not a Christian or that you're going to hell. Sometimes, and I want to clarify that, sometimes it's a good thing because it means that Satan is he finds you important enough to worry about.
Right.
So
right.
But you don't want to just say, okay, cool, that means I'm living a great life, and you know, let it go in your one out in your
absolutely, of course.
You want to prepare yourself, so you know, you want to withstand the temptations of Satan and what he wants to bring into your life. So I encourage you to pick up some books, read the Bible. You know, really quick, just one verse for you. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight.
Yeah.
So I encourage you, Dominic, in all your ways, acknowledge God in every area of your life. It's more than just giving your heart to Christ. It's developing a Christian worldview, and you need to develop a Christian worldview.
Yeah.
And I think the best place to start that is in the Bible. So open it up.
There, you know, one of my favorite things, and I know this is something off the, not off subject, but one of the studies I went through that really helped me with a develop a biblical worldview was the Truth Project. Did you ever go through the
Dude,
Truth Project?
Fantastic.
Our church is going to pick that back up, and we're going to start doing that again.
Yeah, our church already did that.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we're ahead
you're
of you guys.
Way ahead. Dude, you're way ahead. You got the technology that we just don't. We just learned that you're allowed to have. We just learned you're allowed to have screens in the church service. So now I'm just kidding. So, anyways, yeah, man, I'm telling you though, if you can find somewhere or get involved in this, the Truth Project,
in
literally
a church that has screens,
yeah,
would
man,
be helpful for
it
you.
Covers the entire realm of, well, everything that the Bible touches on, which is pretty much the life, universe, and everything in it. So,
yeah.
There you go.
Dude, Truth Project is really fantastic. My buddy Sean McDowell just did something similar to the Truth Project. You can look it up on his website.
Cool.
He just did an entire thing very similar to that, but it goes a little bit more in depth apologetically, and it's really, really great.
Nice.
Developing a Christian worldview.
There you go. All right. I hope that helps you a lot.
Yeah.
I would say this, you know, he said, you know, how do I live around people who say they hate Christians and commit sin constantly? I promise you that's not going to change. In fact, it's only going to get worse.
Yep.
Because we're surrounded by that regularly. And so how you battle that, how you fight that, I think of John 13:34 and 35.
Yeah. You want to know how to live around those people? Live loud.
Yeah.
That's the best thing I can say. Let your faith in Jesus Christ be so much more apparent, so much more loud, because let me tell you, they're loud about it. Just as you said, you've got homosexual friends that have this homosexual clubs, and do they hide it? Do they not tell secrets? Hey, shh, don't tell anybody we have a homosexual. No, they yell it from the rooftops. You know, they're telling everybody because they want people to know about it. And sometimes Christians don't do that. Sometimes Christians hide their faith in Christ. And, you know, I think we can almost get embarrassed by Jesus and, you know, the world. I was thinking about this the other day. You know, people have riots and they have, you know, parades, and they have different things for everything. I mean, they have Hug a Tree Days, and they have Earth Days, and they have homosexual parades, and they have abortion things. But Christians don't want to stand up for their faith. So, you know, I think live as loud as they are and share the love of Christ as loud as they're sharing their beliefs.
And that's it right there. John 13:34 and 35, to love one another. So, so I have loved you, you must love one another. By this, all men will know you're my disciples by your love for one another. If there is a gay parade, do not stand on the corner with the sign that says, God hates fags. Because I promise you, all you're doing, Westboro Baptist Church, is turning people away. So stop being stupid.
Yeah, God doesn't hate fags. God loves fags.
Yeah, absolutely. Seriously.
Yeah, he hates homosexuality, but he loves homosexuals. So, you know, we do serve a God of love, and we want to proclaim that message very, very loud. And I think, you know, I think it's actually okay when someone comes to me and they're in sin, and sometimes they're proud of their sin. And I've had people who come up to me and they're so proud of their sin, they say, hey, pastor, so I do this. What do you think about that? And I tell them straightforward, you know, I love you, but I think that what you're doing is stupid, and if you continue doing it, it'll lead you to hell.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, but I want to let them know, hey, I love you, but you know, we want to love the sinner and hate the sin. So we've talked about that before, but hopefully that helps you, Dominic.
All right, man. Hey, while we're on this topic, Oscar, your tattoo artist, said, I've heard that voice of doubt. This guy's story makes me realize the importance of knowing the spiritual warfare that goes on behind the scenes, which ties right into another email we got anonymously, who says, hey, it's getting close to Halloween. A friend of mine and I were talking about ghosts. I've always believed that once you die, your spirit is either in heaven or hell. Now, I can't remember where it talks about once you've left this earth, but my friend says he's done a lot of studying on the subject and that he's had experience of seeing and hearing ghosts. I don't believe in ghosts, but I do believe that demons walk the earth and play with people's minds. I would really like to know more and find in the Bible where it talks about this stuff, because I've started to question whether or not there are ghosts. Any help you could give me would be greatly appreciated so I can study and research for myself and know for sure. Thanks for everything y'all do.
Yeah, number one, where did he study and research and do a lot of insight into this? Because he said
ghost hunters.
Yeah, he said, oh, I've done a lot of research into this.
Ghost hunters.
You know, I hear people say that all the time, and the question, and they even say biblical. You know, I've looked at a lot of pastors, and they've said this. Well, guess what? Pastors are idiots sometimes. Pastors say stupid things that are unbiblical and lead people astray. So don't listen to pastors unless they're preaching from the Bible and they're giving you sources for where they're preaching from the Bible.
Right.
So find out where he's getting that information from, and don't take it at face value. tell you. You know, a lot of times someone says, well, you know, I really researched and I found out this. And when they say that, we say, oh, and we kind of we retreat and we think, oh my gosh, they must be really, really smart. So I don't really want to tackle this. You know, it's important to say, what do you believe? Why do you believe it? Mm-hmm. How do you know that you're right? And they say, well, I've done research. Well, how do you know that person's right? You know, people, yeah. I hear people use Wikipedia a lot. Right. And, you can write whatever the heck you want to on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
You know, you just talked about my buddy Oscar. Hey, Oscar, by the way, thanks for the tap, man. It's looking killer. but by the way, I was talking to Oscar and we were talking about this idea, and so many Christians can say so many things, and you can write a book about anything nowadays and get it published. You
Absolutely.
Don't have to be right.
Right.
You just have to, you know, have some money
Lots
and know
words.
People.
Yeah.
So just because it's written down, just because it's on the internet, doesn't mean that it's right.
Right.
So find out where they're getting their research from. And then you yourself, you do some research. You know, the Bible talks a lot about this, and the Bible talks a lot about communing with the dead. And it specifically says that we're not supposed to do it.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons that Saul got in a lot of trouble in the Old Testament, was because he was communing with the dead. So we want to make sure with the Witch of Endor. By the way, Endor, I love that.
I know, right? That's where the Ewoks lived.
Dude.
I know.
Witches and
actually,
Ewoks.
They lived on a forest moon of Endor. So
okay.
They weren't actually on Endor. It was the forest moon
okay.
of Endor. So.
You know, you got to wonder if the people of Endor were like maybe a midget race that was really hairy.
Could
and that's
be?
Where you got Ewoks from.
Yeah. Did you know originally they were supposed to be a Wookiee planet, but then Lucas shrunk them down and they called them Ewoks? It was going to be Wookiees.
You just showed everyone how much of a nerd you are.
I know. It's true.
But you know, do research on your own. Look at the Bible. The Bible talks a lot about it. We're not supposed to commune with the dead. It's very blatant. I do not believe that ghosts exist. Number one, because when we die, we meet Jesus in
right.
that moment. We're told, for instance, the thief on the cross said, "Today you will be with me in paradise," which signifies that we don't go into a waiting place between death. We don't go into a state of animated suspension. We either go to heaven or we go to hell.
But what about those people that are in cryo who like Ted Williams' head, he's in cryo, bro. They have him in like cryostasis.
That's just weird.
Yeah, and stupid.
And I don't want to talk about that because I don't know.
Yeah, that's
honestly
just,
the answer
yeah.
to that.
There will never be enough science to bring you back from the dead unless you read Mary Shelley books.
And if you do, you're going to be all frostbitten and ugly, bro.
Right,
it's like,
be weird.
Hey, they might find the technology to cure from your disease, but you're still going to be old, wrinkly, and ugly.
Yeah.
Like, that's not going to change. You're still going to be nasty. And then now you're just going to have nasty, wrinkly skin, and you're going to have frostbite on
true
it,
that,
dude.
True that. Let me just say one last thing on the subject of ghosts and spirits and all. I used to work in Native radio, national Native American radio. When I left M88 back then, I went and I was working at this place. And my boss one day was talking about how her grandmother came to visit her. And spoke, and they had this conversation and all this stuff. And she looked at me and she laughed and said, "Well, you're a Christian though, so I know you don't believe that. You probably think I'm crazy." And I said, "No, I don't think you're crazy at all. I absolutely believe that what you're saying is true. I don't believe it was your grandmother, but I believe that you saw something, because we are at war. There is warfare going on. In fact, the Bible says that the battle we fight isn't against flesh and blood. There's a spiritual warfare going on out there.
Yeah.
Satan's demons. And yes, they can take many a form. They could absolutely try and trick you and say, hey, I'm your dead grandma. I love you. It's totally cool over here. I'm chilling, having a blasty blast. You don't need that Jesus, dude, because I'm telling you what. The piña coladas are amazing where I'm at." And you're like, "Oh, dude, but I saw my grandma and she said it."
Yeah.
Yeah, not so much.
You know, my buddy Oscar and I were talking about this too. You know, Satan wants to distract us and really cause us to go in a lot of different directions. And one of the ways he does that is ghosts. Another way is aliens. You know, we're told, who was it? The guy who does all the numbers, Matrix dude.
Oh, I was like, Chuck Missler?
Chuck Missler, there you go. Matrix
oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Chuck Missler talks about it, and I like the way he puts it, is that demons and aliens could be the same thing. It's just we view aliens as demons. And I think what the meaning of that is that basically demons and Satan will do anything he can to distract us.
Right.
So if that can be that demons create bright lights in the sky and make us think that there's UFOs and aliens and other beings that are in the universe somewhere to distract us from Jesus, then he'll do that.
Yeah.
Satan's goal is to distract us from anything. So if that's using ghosts, if that's using extraterrestrial life, anything that – because these are things that people – worship. There's
oh,
people who worship ghosts. There's people who pray to ghosts. There's people who worship aliens and believe that aliens are going to save us and the aliens are going to come to this earth before it gets destroyed and rapture us up into UFOs. And these are things that demons can use to get our eyes off the real truth and get our eyes on a fake truth. And remember, Satan's number one goal is to get worship off of Christ and onto himself. And one of the ways that he does that is through his demons, by creating other things that will worship besides Jesus. So, you know, that's ghosts, that's, you know, aliens, whatever that is.
Right. Speaking of taking your eye, we got to take a quick break, but speaking of taking your eyes off of Jesus and putting it on yourself, coming right back, we are going to finally talk about this. Joel Osteen, we brought him up this last week on the morning show. It started this huge firestorm on the Facebook morning show, and listeners were fighting each other, and it was like, you know, blood on Steve-O and curses on your house. And so we're going to talk about this like grown-ups, but we're definitely going to get into the thick of this. So I know people have been waiting and excited to talk about this.
We're going
to
spend the rest of the show talking about it, probably.
For the most part, yeah. If you'd like to get a question in and distract us, you can do so. 338-3700. But coming right back, we'll pick it up. We've got some interesting thoughts from John MacArthur, as well as an appearance Joel made on CNN with Larry.
We're going to hear from Joel himself. Hey, yes, that's something I never thought I'd say this, but Joel Osteen is going to be on Shock Therapy.
What?
I never thought that would happen, but he's going to be on Shock Therapy. We're actually going to play, I can't believe I'm going to say this, we're going to play a Joel Osteen clip on Shock Therapy.
It's coming up next. You're listening to Shock Therapy Live, Static Radio.
Shock Therapy Live. Maybe this time the treatment will take. Follow tonight's topic at facebook.com/mystaticradio or at 505-338-3700. If you think you can handle the spewing of hard truth, time to treat more of your disorders with Steve-O and Nate. This is Shock Therapy Live.
Sorry, I didn't turn your mic on.
Yeah, you just kind of suck at that now.
I'll turn it on now.
You never give me the boom.
I never know if you're going to talk over things, and you know. So welcome to Shock Therapy Live. I'm your host, Steve-O. With me, as always, Pastor Nate Heitzing, to my right. And people have been excited about this conversation for a few days now. We had a caller call in, and they mentioned, to give you some background, they mentioned going to see Joel Osteen at the Pit, and he was here last weekend, and it was packed out, sold out, all 3 days. I say sold out because he charged. They were excited that they saw Joel right on. I said, hey, you know, there's varying opinions on this guy. I'm not going to give mine right away. I'm going to play a clip of Mark Driscoll, and we actually put Mark Driscoll up on there, who says in the very beginning, hey, Christian brother, you know, I believe that he loves Jesus, but here's what's off. And after that, it became like the Calvinists versus the Lovinians.
And
a fight went back and forth, and that's not exactly what we're here to do tonight.
We're going to play in a second. We're going to play a clip from John MacArthur. And John MacArthur is someone we play on Static Radio.
We play
his teachings on KNKT. Yeah. He's a very, very gifted expositor. In my opinion, he's one of the best expositors, if not the best expositor, of our current generation. He's fantastic. I have every one of his commentaries. I use his commentaries. My dad uses his commentaries. Many, many churches around the world, good biblical teaching churches, use his commentaries. Just a really fantastic teacher, fantastic expositor. And he said something about Joel Osteen.
He did. His differs a little bit from Pastor Mark Driscoll. Yeah. So we're going to play his clip and get your dialing fingers ready, 338-3700 or facebook.com/mystaticradio.
A few weeks ago, there was an event here at Dodger Stadium with Joel Osteen. 35,000 people at Dodger Stadium, something like that. He is now the largest quote-unquote church I'm using the word loosely, in America, down in Houston. You need to understand that he is a pagan religionist in every sense. He's a quasi-pantheist. Jesus is a footnote that satisfies his critics and deceives his followers. The idea of his whole thing is that men have the power in themselves to change their lives. In his definitive book, Your Best Life Now, he says, and that ought to be a dead giveaway, since the only way this could be your best life is if you're going to hell. He says that anyone can create by faith and words the dreams he desires. Health, wealth, happiness, success. The list is always the same. Here's some quotes from his book, Your Best Life Now. If you develop an image of success, health, abundance, joy, peace, happiness, nothing on earth will be able to hold those things from you. End quote. See, that's the law of attraction that's a part of this kind of system. Here's another quote. All of us are born for earthly greatness. You were born to win. Win what? God wants you to live in abundance. You were born to be a champion. He wants to give you the desires of your heart. Before we were formed, He prepared us to live abundant lives, to be happy, healthy, and whole. But when our thinking becomes contaminated, it's no longer in line with God's Word. End quote. By the way, God's Word is not the Bible. God's Word is that Word that comes to us mystically, spiritually, that tells us what we should want. Here's another quote. Get your thinking positive, and He will bring your desires to pass. He regards you as a strong, courageous, successful person. You're on your way to a new level of glory. How do you get there? Believe, he says, visualize, and speak out loud. Same exact approach. Words release your power. Words give life to your dreams. Here's another quote. Friend, there's a miracle in your mouth. I think Isaiah might object to that. I said, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amidst the people of unclean lips. Here's Joel Osteen's prayer. I thank you, Father, that I have your favor. Wow. Did he meet the Pharisee in Luke 18 or what? I thank you that I'm not like other people. Here's another quote. I know these principles are true because they work for me and my wife. Oh, so that's the test of truth. Are you kidding? I know these things are true because they work for me and my wife. Sure, you're at the top of the Ponzi scheme. And then he said, even finding a perfect parking spot at the mall. And I asked, what about the little old lady you cut off to get into that parking spot? What about her dreams? Maybe she was born to lose. I mean, it's so silly, so bizarre. He says, God has already done everything He's going to do. The ball's in your court. You have to take that part of God which exists in you and create your own reality. Now, what is the source of this? Where does this come from? Answer, Satan. This is satanic. This is not just off-centered. This is satanic. Why do I say that? Because health, wealth, prosperity, the fulfillment of all your dreams and your desires, that's what Satan always offers. That's called temptation. Based on the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's exactly what corrupt, fallen, unregenerate people want. That's why it works so well, right? You can go right into Satan's system, make everybody feel religious, and turn their desires, their temptations, into somehow honorable desires. I mean, what did Satan say to Jesus? Grab some satisfaction. Why are you hungry? You need to eat. You need to be healthy, whole. Why would you let yourself be unpopular? Dive off the temple corner. Whew, everybody will be wowed. You'll be the winner. You'll be the champion. You'll be the Messiah. They'll heal you. And by the way, if you just look over the kingdoms of the world, I'll give those to you too. That's satanic. And why are these false teachers so successful at what they do? Because they're in cahoots with the devil. Why is Satan successful? Because his temptations, although they might appear noble on the outside, are in perfect accord with all the fallen, corrupt, selfish, proud, evil desires of sinners. This is a false kind of Christianity and a false view of God.
Wow. All right, John Dude. MacArthur, speaking of Joel Osteen, John MacArthur, who we play here on KNKT, and yeah. As you said, a great expositor, someone that your father uses, someone yeah. that you use, someone that Now,
you know,
why
he teaches the Bible, and I think that's why it's important that we play him.
Exactly. And why are we doing this? People say, "What? All you're doing is dividing. You're not building up. You're not." And if he's a Christian, if he's a believer, this is why we're doing it. John MacArthur, who is a very well-known expositor, says he's satanic, and that was wow.
Yeah,
I could. You know, I was. Wow.
And that's why I want to play that clip, because I think John said it better than we could say it.
Yeah.
And we're young, and I'll admit that. So when we can say some stuff, it can come off as arrogant, as prideful, as youthful arrogance, and I don't want that. This is a man who is well-versed in the Word. He's spent years and years in ministry. He's been tried. He's been tested. And he consistently preaches the Bible.
Absolutely.
And I think that's the marker. And, you know, just to point out really quick, it's not just John MacArthur. Benny Hinn said about Joel Osteen that Joel Osteen is a coward and the seeker-friendly model is demon-possessed. Benny Hinn said that. Benny Hinn's kind of crazy. I don't agree with everything Benny Hinn says. So if a crazy guy says that about him, you know, it's worth taking note of.
If he can, yeah. So
You know, people talk about this idea. You just said people are rebuking us, saying, why are you dividing? Why are you doing this? You know, it's not right to do this. It's not right to divide. We're told in 1 Timothy 5:20, for those who persist in sin, rebuke them in the presence of all. So that the rest may stand in fear. So that's why we're doing this. That's why we're doing it in the midst of all. We're saying it on the radio because this guy is a false teacher, and false teaching is a sin, and sin is something that needs to be rebuked of. We're told in 1 Corinthians 5:12, for what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? You know, people say that Christians aren't to judge. No, we are. We're supposed to judge the church. We're not supposed to judge outsiders. When sinners come to us, we don't judge them. But people in the church, we are called to judge. We're told in Romans 16:17, I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught.
Right.
Avoid them. And this doctrine that Joel Osteen teaches is a doctrine that is contrary to what we have been taught. And so we want to tell our listeners, we want to tell those around us to avoid him, to stay away from him, because the teaching that he brings is false teaching. We don't want people to be hurt by that false teaching.
Absolutely. And as we've been discussing it, you know, it was very mild on the morning show. It really was. But that's exactly why I said this is a topic and arena for Shock Therapy Live. That is a point. And we posted the video with thoughts, simply said thoughts on the morning show, and got 46 comments immediately and felt like this was something big enough that people needed to discuss. And that is what we're here to do tonight. If you'd like to jump in on the conversation, if you have a differing opinion, please bring it. If you bring it with scripture, please bring it. We got a comment on Facebook that says, if it's wrong to preach the prosperity message that Jesus gives us the desires of our heart, then isn't it wrong to be prosperous? Is it wrong to own an Xbox and purchase every game when it's available for purchase? I would call that prosperity. If you were to offer a job that paid $200,000 a year, would you turn it down because it's too much money? Jesus was not poor. He ate, he wore clothes that were nice enough that they cast lots for them when he died. He even had a treasurer to keep all his money. His ministry was funded when he was a baby with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I would say that starving families in third world countries would see you all as rich people. Again, if it's wrong to preach it, then it should be wrong to have it, right?
Hey, really quick. Huge misinterpretation of the Bible. They cast lots for his garments. Guess what? Those garments were the garments that Herod put on him when he came to Herod and stood before Herod.
Right.
Herod put on him garments.
Right. Those were not his own garments. And he was homeless.
Yeah, he was homeless. You know, and I think the biggest issue with this is we're not saying that it's wrong to have nice stuff, but what we're saying is it's wrong to say that God wants you to have nice stuff, that God's will for your life is for you to have nice stuff. Joel Osteen said, and I quote, all of us are born for earthly greatness. You were born to win. To say that you are born for earthly greatness, guess what? We're not born for earthly greatness.
No.
When we accept Christ, we are born for heavenly greatness. As a matter of fact, we're told, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. That we're not born for earthly greatness. God bestows greatness on some, but that's not the purpose of everybody.
Right.
You know, doesn't that exclude Jesus Christ? You know, Jesus was not great on the earth. Jesus even said that. He said, I did not come to be served, but I came to serve. serve.
Right.
You know, he talks about this idea that he came to be a servant to many, that he came lowly is what it says, is that he came the lowest of lows. He came to serve and he was a servant. He came to a carpenter's family. He didn't come to a great mighty family. Does that mean the great mighty people are wrong? No. But, you know, it means that this is who Jesus was. As a matter of fact, people say, well, Jesus wants you to be wealthy. Jesus wants you to have lots of money. What did Jesus say to the rich young ruler?
That's exactly where I was going to go.
You know, this guy was great. This guy, Joel Osteen would have said, this guy was born for greatness. If this guy would have come to Joel Osteen.
He believed the law. He followed every single law rule.
If the rich young ruler would have come to Joel Osteen, Joel Osteen would have said, you are fulfilling God's will for your life. That's what Joel Osteen would have told him. But what did Jesus tell him? Sell everything that you have and come follow me. Everything that you have. Get rid of all of it and come follow me. Now, that doesn't sound like it matches up with the teaching that Joel Osteen has. Joel Osteen says, if you develop an image of, and he lists a big list of things, of being wealthy, of being happy, of being all this stuff, nothing on earth will hold those things from you. That is not biblical. That is not what the Bible says. That is not what Jesus says. That is what Joel says. You know, and this idea, this is contrary to what the Bible talks about. And we're told in 2 Peter 2, 1 through 3, false prophets arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them. We're going to bring up a clip about that in a second. Bringing upon themselves swift destruction, and many will follow their sensuality. And because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep.
Man.
You know, I think that sums it up pretty well. You know, it's greed. And this is not the true gospel. This is not the true words. This is something that they're bringing up, and many are following it because of the sensuality. Yeah, that's a gospel that I can accept. Yeah, that's a truth that I can accept. Yeah, Jesus wants me to have all this great stuff. And, you know, it's not true. It's contrary to the gospel, and it's something that the Bible specifically talks about, and not just talks about, it's something the Bible tells us that we need to point out, and we need to kick it in the butt.
Right. Dude, I think of Hebrews chapter 11. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. The heroes of the faith, look at every single one of them. You know what I mean? You look at Abel, from the very beginning, had a holy and acceptable sacrifice to God, and he was, yeah, man, and I'm following God, and I'm going to give up my best, and he was murdered for it. You know what I mean? It wasn't like he received, but you look at every single one, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, you look at all of these people who had all of these troubles and issues and problems in their life. It's incredible. We could go on all night, but you know what?
Yeah.
Let's take some phone calls. 505-338-3700 if you'd like to chime in on the conversation. Hello!
Hi there, Steve-O.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. I'm really enjoying
it. Is this Callie Deb?
Yes, it is.
Hey, I remembered your name.
So. Okay, cool.
Hey, awesomeness. Listen, this subject is so amazing beyond measure because it is very controversial. And one thing that I wanted to bring up that was just sort of put upon my heart is that, you know, yeah, great, we're going to get blessed. And if we follow him, you know, and we don't be greedy, yeah, we'll, you know, God's always going to bless us, okay? But in regards to being lowly and humble, he wants to, you know, he can't do work on us unless we're broken, first of all.
Hmm.
And the Bible tells us that. Secondly, it's not about having money. It's what we do with the money. It's like, okay, you have that Xbox. Are you glorifying God with that?
Right.
Probably not.
Right.
So it's not about having nice things, because that's not a bad thing. It's the love of having nice things. And frankly, if we don't give it away to God first, because it's because of him that we have anything to begin
right.
with. And God's word says that a rich man has a better chance of getting through an eye of a camel has a better chance of getting through an eye of a needle than a rich man getting to heaven. So that's how God feels about people with money, because most of them don't know God sadly enough. We need to reach those people somehow. This is an amazing subject. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thanks, Callie Deb.
Thanks,
and we got to be careful, because here's the thing that other people will say. On the flip side of this pendulum swing, the Bible says that the money is the root of all evil. The Bible does not say that.
Yeah.
A root.
The love of money.
Yeah, is a root.
Says the love.
Root, yeah. A root of all kinds of evil, but it is not the root of all evil. However,
and it's not even money. It's the love of money.
Exactly.
Is the root of all evil.
And that is it right there.
All sorts of evils.
What are we trying to gain?
Yeah.
What are we wanting to gain here? And
you know, I want to point out that our issue with Joel Osteen isn't just that he says that God wants you to have money, but he goes further than that. You know,
right.
He says that you have to live in total victory, and that means that you can't be sick. That means you can't have emotional problems. That means you can't have bad relationships with people. And this idea, and really that's the root of it, that it's not just the money issue. It's that you can't be sick. It's that you can't have disagreements with people around you. It's that, I mean, it's this constant idea that is counterfeit to what the Bible says, that realistically excludes Jesus Christ from Joel Osteen's special club.
And I'll tell you what, I actually sat down because, to be fair, I'd only seen a couple messages from him. I'd only read from what I've seen from his books, from what most people are saying. And we had a listener, Jody, who said, "Hey, man, you're saying, you know, the Bible says this. Well, Joel actually said that in a message." And I sat down and I listened to the entire message, all 30-some minutes of it. I got through it and it was like, okay, cool. He does say those things. But one thing I did note, that as he was talking about how, hey, you know, what you do when things are bad, you get up, you know, and you jump back on the game, and because God is planting a better seed for you. And so it was this idea that things are going to suck now, but at some point, it's because he's got something greater for you in the future. And yeah, he does. It's called heaven. It's not an earthly
game. I would have loved Joel Osteen to have had a conversation with Job, because Job got...
He was rich, man.
Job,
he was crazy.
Well,
he had fans.
Well, think about this. Job got pox. And what if Joel Osteen would have said, "Hey, I know that really is bad, but God's got a better plan for you." "Okay, what's that better plan?" "Oh, my family dies. That's a better plan." "Okay, well, God's got a better plan for you." "Oh, my house burnt down."
Yeah.
"Oh, well, God's got a better plan for you." And he loses all this stuff. And it's important to point out, too, that God let this stuff happen. God
right.
let that stuff happen. You know, sometimes what God brings into our life is bad things, and we're tested and we're tried by fire. And that's a biblical principle,
yeah.
is that life isn't all about gumdrops and lollipops. It's not about a yellow brick road. Sometimes flying monkeys and wicked witches come in the ride of life, and it's difficult to deal with.
I'll say this, and we got another caller. We'll take this call. Hebrews 11. I can't say it enough. Go to Hebrews 11. The end of Hebrews 11. It's talking about the heroes of the faith, these great, mighty men and women of God. And he goes through this list of these people. Verse 32 of Hebrews 11 says, "And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms. They enforced justice, they obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight." Now, these sound like great things. All right, see, God wants us to be great now. Let's keep reading verse 35. "Women received back their dead by resurrection." Sweet, high five. Oh, wait, we should finish the rest of that verse. "Some were tortured, refused to accept release, so they might rise again to a better life." Speaking of heaven, not of this life, okay? "Others suffered mocking, flogging, chains, imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated." Verse 38, one of my favorite scriptures in all the Bible, "of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth." These were the mighty, mighty men of the faith. So that's my big question. If we are all destined for greatness here, the best you now, what of those in Hebrews chapter 11 that God so clearly draws out as these heroes of the faith who had nothing?
You know, that's so important. And I think that that ties so well into what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He's talking about being servants of Christ. And he says, "Are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more." He says, "I am more. I am more of a servant of Christ." And what distinguishes a servant of Christ? He says, "I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a day and a night in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers robbers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger from the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in dangers from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches.
Man.
Okay. What is the mark of a strong Christian? Well, according to Paul, it's not being really rich and being really healthy. It's being in danger.
Right.
It's being beaten with rods. Okay, I've never been beaten with rods. But that's Paul's mark of a strong believer in the first century church. Being in prison, being whipped, being beaten, being shipwrecked, being in danger, being naked, being cold, being in hunger, thirsting, being homeless, yeah. being persecuted. That's the mark of a true believer. And that's Paul. So I want Joel to argue with Paul and
yeah,
see who wins.
And here's the thing. As we go through this, it doesn't mean we should all give up everything we should own and be poor and broken and destitute.
But that's if you want to, you can
saying.
Sell it and send a check to me.
Because the big deal is this. It's all an issue of the heart. What are yeah. we striving for? You look at the end of Hebrews 11 where it talks about all these people who did all these great things. Though commended through their faith, they did not receive what was promised. Most of them did not even see the promise God had said for them here on this earth, but only saw that promise of eternal life with Jesus Christ,
yeah.
which is far greater than anything else they could have seen here. Whether it was Abraham who said, you will have so many descendants. Look at the stars in the sky and look at the sand and look at the sand and the ocean. How many kids and grandkids did he actually see?
Zero.
Well, he saw Isaac, you know.
Yeah,
but
well, yeah,
grandkids,
not stars.
Really, you know.
hey, we've got a call. Let's see what they got to
Hi,
say.
Hi, welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
Hi, I actually had two questions and two comments. So I was curious, why was this not brought up before? So all this stuff about him, why did his church have to grow so much before somebody actually called him out, do you think?
There have been people that have called him out, numerous
okay.
people, and that's yeah. the hard
part. I've never heard of it. That's why I was like really shocked.
Yeah. John MacArthur, Mark Driscoll, these guys have been calling Joel Osteen out for a long time. And it's
okay.
not just Joel Osteen, it's the prosperity gospel. The prosperity gospel has been a problem within
prosperity
the church for a long
gospel.
Time. And the prosperity gospel is something that churches have been speaking out against for a really long time. This isn't something new. This has been started for some 30, 40 years is how long this prosperity gospel has been going out. And it really just shows the validity of what Jesus said and what the Bible says, that in the last days there will be many false teachers. And it doesn't matter how much we preach against it, people will still follow it because ultimately it sounds good. And you have to think to a non-believer how good that sounds. So you're telling me if I accept Christ, I'm going to be really rich, really healthy, and nothing bad. Going to happen.
Yeah.
So as much as we preach against it, it's still something that's appealing, and anything appealing, just like sin, just like drugs, just like drinking, just like anything else in life, it sounds good and it sounds like it'll bring happiness, so people follow it.
There we go.
Right. Okay. And then the next thing, my next question kind of was, so they're basically like calling him a hedonist.
Well, see, it's funny because it depends on who you listen
who you talk to.
And so
yeah.
very
because
much so.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I have seen this book by John Piper, and he talks all about being a Christian hedonist, and that is that wrong?
I'll tell you
is
right
that,
now.
Like,
I read something, and then I watched a sermon that John Piper gave, and in it he talks about these prosperity preachers, and he mentions Joel by name actually, and he talks about he says the word hatred for the prosperity gospel.
And there's a difference between the hedonism can be on a few different things, reveling in certain things. And what they talk about, John Piper, he talks about Christian hedonism. He's speaking about reveling and basically getting a fill of Christ. And his book kind of explains that. I will say I'm not a huge fan of John Piper either, but that's another question. That's another debate. It's speaking of different things. You can be a hedonist about a lot of different things. So it's speaking of different things there.
And with all teachers, with all of them, whether it's John MacArthur, Mark Driscoll, John Piper, Joel Osteen, any of these people, you take it back to the Word of God because, you know, it doesn't really matter what any of these people say. John MacArthur calls him a Satanist, which is like, wow, in league with Satan. That's pretty
intense.
That's
as far as you can go.
Mark Driscoll says, do I believe he's a believer? Do I believe he loves Jesus? Yeah, you know. And so it depends on who you talk to. However, we have a clip from Joel himself, the words out of his very mouth, and which probably helped spawn this conversation when he came through town. But anyways, I wanted to say thank you for your call.
Can I have, I'm sorry, I have one more thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
It sounded kind of like, I'm sorry, John MacArthur was being a little bit condescending when he was talking about Jolson, because he's like, oh, well, huh. He thinks this, and he talks about this. What do you guys think of that?
Like, I'll tell you
is
what.
Is that okay? It seems like
Paul,
it's not. But.
I'll tell you, Paul speaking to these false teachers at the time in, I believe, Corinth, right? And they were preaching that, hey, you have to be circumcised in order to be a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul said, you know what? To you agitators who say that, I wish you would just go the whole way and castrate yourself. That is found in the scripture.
Whoa.
Quite sarcastic,
quite
condescending, because anything that is taught to you that does not adhere to the word of Jesus Christ is, I mean, it's blasphemy. Let's be honest.
Right.
As we've gone through so many scriptures, and so you have to be, as it says, wise as serpent, wise as serpents and innocent as doves. And we need to be wise with what we are taking in, because you never know. Anybody could say something fluffy that sounds really good, and 9 times out of 10, the stuff that sounds the best is the stuff that's just left of center. So, anyways, thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
All right.
Let's listen to this clip.
Coming to the end of the show.
Yeah.
But this is the big point. I will say real quickly, Katrina asked this question on Facebook. She says, why would Copper Point Church, New Believer Center, Legacy, and other churches endorse Joel Osteen? She said, then why would they do that if he's so bad? My answer would be very easily, you'd have to ask them.
Yeah.
I don't know. I honestly don't. And so we've gotten a few comments, but before we run out of show,
yeah, we want to listen to this clip.
This is the meat of it. This is the heart of it. This is Joel Osteen himself.
This isn't John MacArthur. This isn't Mark Driscoll. This is from the horse's mouth.
There you go. Joel Osteen on CNN. He was asked if Jesus was the only way.
Phoenix, Arizona. Hello.
Hello, Larry. You're the best. And thank you, Joel, for your positive messages and your book. I'm wondering, though, why you sidestepped Larry's earlier question about how we get to heaven. The Bible clearly tells us that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light, and the only way to the Father is through him. That's not really a message of condemnation, but of truth.
Yeah, I would agree with her. I believe that.
So then Jew is not going to heaven.
No.
Well,
here's my thing, Larry, is I can't judge somebody's heart. You know, I don't know. Only God can look at somebody's heart. And so, I don't know. To me, it's not my business to say, you know, this one is or this one isn't. I'm just saying, here's what the Bible teaches, and I want to put my faith in, you know, in Christ. And I think it's wrong when we go around saying, you know, you're not going, because it's not exactly my way. I'm not going to be the God.
You believe your way.
I believe my way. I believe my way with all my heart. But
for someone who doesn't share it, it is wrong, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know if I look at it like that. I would present my way, but I'm just going to let God be the judge of that. I mean, I don't know.
So you make no judgment on anyone?
No, but
about atheists?
No, I just, you know what? I'm going to let God be the judge of who goes to heaven and hell. And I just, again, I present the truth, and I say it every week. You know, I believe it's a relationship with Jesus. But you know what? I'm not going to go around telling everybody else. If they don't want to believe that, that's going to be their choice. God's got to look at your own heart. God's got to look at your heart. And only God knows that.
And there it is. We just wanted to get that little quick clip in real quick.
Yeah.
Now, let me just say this. I listened to the whole I watched the whole show with we're going to go over whatever. I listened to the whole show with Larry King Live, and it was the caller, you know, who said, hey, I have a question about Joel. He skirted it earlier. Earlier in the show, Larry King asked him straight up, hey, your Bible says, you know, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. What does that mean to you? Does that mean I as a Jew, Larry King, I am a Jew, does that mean that I am not going to heaven? What about Buddhists? What about these people? And that's when he started, well, I just, you know, it's not really up to me to say. And so then this caller called him out and said, hey, you know what? you know, the Bible says this. So do you believe what the Bible says? Yeah, I believe it with my whole heart. So what about atheists? What about, you know, well, it's not for me to say. And he's right in one sense. God does judge the heart. However, what does John 14:6 say again, Pastor?
Well, it's not just John 14:6. He's not right to say that, because 2 John 1:7 through 11 says, "For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch yourselves so they may not lose what we have worked for. You may win a full reward. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in this teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting, for whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works." That sounds like a whole lot of judgment to me.
Right.
You know, we're told we're not supposed to judge them. No, we are. What are we supposed to judge them on? Their relationship with Christ. Nothing else. Right. You know, we get this idea that we're not supposed to judge in the church. We're not supposed to judge people's actions. We're supposed to judge their heart. And it's about a relationship with Christ. It's right. All about having a relationship with Christ. You have to profess the name of Christ.
And he does say that it's about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And he does say that,
yeah,
that it is about that. However, it's for him. Well, if you don't believe my way, then that's okay. And it's almost like this universalistic attitude of, you know what, this is what I choose to believe. If you don't want to choose to believe that, that's okay, man. You know,
no,
but I'm just going to present the truth.
And in that same interview, he talks about when Larry King asked him this, is that the only way to heaven? He responds that he went to India with his father, and that while he was in India, there's people who believed in Hinduism, and his literal words were, "They're very sincere, and I don't know if I can judge them."
Right.
That's not true. That's not biblical.
Right.
Being sincere does not get you to heaven. There's going to be a lot of sincere people in hell. There's going to be a lot of religious people in hell. The only thing that gets you to heaven is John 14:6, the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Right.
And we as Christians not only have the right, we have the task to judge people based on that verse.
Right.
If someone does not have a relationship with Christ, they're going to hell. It's not a question. It's not, well, God's going to judge their heart. God already did judge their heart. The judgment is there. If you do not have Christ, you're going to go to hell. That's plain and simple truth, black and white, what the Bible says. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, and if you do not have him, you will not go to heaven. You will go to hell. And it's not for me to say. It's not for Joel Osteen to say. That's what the Bible says.
Right. Absolutely. There is this whole issue of sin. We are fallen, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But man, God is so faithful. God is so faithful and just to cleanse us and forgive us our sins if we confess our sins.
Yeah. And you know, I want to point out, we brought all this up, not because we're axe grinders, not because we want to rip on other churches, but we bring it up because we are jealous for your relationship with Christ. We maintain that Joel Osteen's teaching is seriously flawed and will lead those seeking to live better lives, not into a better life, but into a lifestyle of true spiritual need, and ultimately cost them dearly because of these misconceptions and errors that it's based upon. And we sincerely believe that. We firmly hold to that. And we do it because we want to watch out for your relationship with Christ.
There it is. That's a big boom. You go ahead and take it.
Boom! Oh, I missed it.
Okay.
I just totally lost it.
Not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, Puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.